commercial washers and dryers.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The New York Police Department said to be alarmed by posters outside the New York Stock Exchange suggesting that Luigi Mangione is a martyr and that the murder of healthcare CEO Brian Thompson is, quote, a symbolic takedown over perceived corruption. Mangione remains in a Pennsylvania jail, refusing extradition to New York, where he is charged with Thompson's murder. Conditions are improving in Southern California. Santa Ana winds calmer, even though that fire in the hills above Malibu continues to burn. Out this morning, new numbers on inflation.
The November Consumer Price Index is expected to show a slight acceleration in inflation from the previous month. That might normally be enough for the Fed to hold interest rates where they are. But the job market continues to be resilient. Many economists expect the Fed to shave 0.25% from a key interest rate next week.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The numbers just released show consumer prices up 0.3% as expected. Pope Francis making his first remarks about Syria this morning. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin's oldest known living resident has died. 112-year-old Ruth Aunt Esther Strazewski died November 29th. Family members say she died in her sleep at Parkview Health Center in Oshkosh. Strazewski's funeral will be Saturday in Oshkosh. Two people are dead after a crash involving a semi-truck in west central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Patrol says an SUV crossed a median on 994 near Toma Monday night and hit the semis. A 26-year-old Minnesota woman and a 47-year-old Wisconsin man in the SUV were killed, while the truck drivers from Michigan and Minnesota were hospitalized and are expected to survive. Shortly after that crash, another semi-driver from Minnesota, who didn't follow cones and flares directing traffic around the crash, rear-ended a State Patrol squad car. A trooper who hurt his head in that crash was hospitalized, while the semi-driver involved wasn't injured. The westbound Beltline in Madison was shut down for 3 hours Monday night after a pedestrian was hit by a car. It happened around 7 near Fish Hatchery Road. Madison police say the pedestrian died as a result. Authorities are now trying to figure out why the person was walking on the Beltline. Wisconsin could soon be another step closer to authorizing a sandhill crane hunting season. The Legislative Study Committee on Sandhill Cranes is scheduled to vote on 3 draft bills, 2 of which would authorize sandhill crane hunting in the state to help protect farms from crop damage. Because there is no hunting season for the birds, Wisconsin farmers are unable to receive compensation for lost crops. Agriculture officials say the sandhill cranes caused nearly $2 million in estimated crop damage in 2023. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers get ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers installing the game plan for the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. If Green Bay wins and the Falcons lose, the Packers could clinch a playoff spot with 4 games remaining. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
This next storm of games, we're going to be locked in. You know, we're going to be energized. We're going to bring that juice. We're going to be locked into our technique, our assignment, our alignment. If we win the line of scrimmage, we win each game.
College basketball, the Badgers lost down in Illinois last night, 86-80. That's Wisconsin's third loss in a row. NBA, the Bucks with a 114-109 win over the Orlando Magic, and that means the Bucks are headed to the NBA Cup tournament in Las Vegas this weekend. After the game, Damian Lillard praised teammate Bobby Portis for his leadership.
You always want to make sure that you behave in a way that's respectable, even when it's not going your way, because it's going to turn. You want people to know, you know, it's always great to see when Bobby is doing his thing. You know, it's infectious and it changes our team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be windy with light snow showers and falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to be in the single digits by late today with a wind chill dropping below zero. Clear, windy, cold tonight, 1 below with a wind chill in the teens below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine, not as windy with a high of 12. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. If you ever have a question for the doctor, just email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. We'll see you then.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, Calvin. We're looking at sub-zero weather. How good can I be?
Yeah, it's definitely whiplash from the past couple of days.
Man, I mean, they're talking 14 below with wind chill, man. I don't think we've had that in years, have we?
I can't remember. Time flies.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it is what it is. The great thing about today is that it's Wednesday. It's at 8 o'clock, and I am joined with the co-founder and founder of a campaign for lead-free water, Dr. Yana and Paul Schwartz. Good morning to you, Dr. Yana. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. So good to be here again.
It's so great to have you back. We miss you. Look, the guys held down the fort, but there's something about femininity. It's, you know, and so it's always good to have some femininity around, and especially with the talents and the knowledge that you bring to the table.
Thank you, Earl.
All right. Hey, Paul, how you doing, sir? Paul, we can't hear you. There you go. There you go.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm balancing the scales with masculinity and apparently doing science.
Or you're going to lose. You can never balance the scale between.
No, you're right, Earl. Once again.
Always good to see you and none other than my good friend and compatriot, Robert Miranda from Fresh Water for Life. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Yana and Paul. Everybody doing okay today?
Perfect. Yes, hey, Robert. Hi.
Yeah, man,
we're not minus 14 with wind chill here in D.C.
No. You know, Robert, we have to be doing well. And I'll tell you, Robert, we're going to play, you know, that piece that WTMJ just had on about leaded water, and we're going to play it right at the top so people get an idea. We've been talking about this now for the better part of a month and a half on the show, and maybe people just somehow think it's not them. It's not our community. We haven't heard anything about it. So maybe it's just what's happening there. But this piece...
That's a great idea.
Go ahead, Robert.
That's a great idea, or I think people need to hear this. And there's some language in there that we will definitely bring up. But I'd like people to focus on the beginning part of that report where the anchor, I think the one you're going to bring up, says something about the panic being caused. The word panic that plays out in the narrative of government and water utilities around the country, that word is a word that is used to dismiss the seriousness of this matter. But yeah, that's a great idea.
And I think people need to know that these are two of the wealthiest communities in the state of Wisconsin. Calvin, if you please.
It's a health concern causing a panic across the state.
It just blows my mind that this is something that's been known, a known issue, and we're just sort of being notified of it now.
This is Janelle. She is among tens of thousands in southeast Wisconsin who recently learned their drinking water is flowing into their homes through lead pipes. Just yesterday, Whitefish Bay held a listening session on this issue.
Our Lighthouse team wanted to find out which communities are dealing with the biggest problem. Our Lighthouse reporter Ben Jordan learned a couple of Milwaukee suburbs have the highest percentage of lead pipes in the state.
I've reported countless times over the years on lead pipes in Milwaukee. While that's been well documented, what hasn't gotten much attention is the scope of the problem elsewhere. State data shows Shorewood and Whitefish Bay actually have the largest share of lead pipes in Wisconsin.
It's life, right? There really isn't anything that we do that isn't touched by our drinking water.
For the last 8 years, Janelle Smarella has lived in her home without worrying about what's in her water.
It has been determined that the water service line that connects your home to the water main is made from lead.
That changed when this letter arrived in the mail.
People living in homes with lead service line may have an increased risk of exposure to lead from their drinking water.
Janelle couldn't believe what looks crystal clear may have been harming her health all along.
I have lots of friends in the neighborhood with small kids. Like, to just find out about this now, I mean, that's a little unsettling, to say the least.
It's part of the new U.S. Environmental Protection Agency rule that requires municipalities to alert residents about lead service lines and to replace them over a decade. A study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum identified the 15 communities with the highest percentage of municipally owned lead service lines using data published by Wisconsin's Public Service Commission. Topping the list is Shorewood at 82%. It's followed by Whitefish Bay at 56%. When you add confirmed or suspected lead service lines on the private side, meaning from the curb stop to the house, Whitefish Bay's figure jumps to 82% according to 2023 data.
That kind of blows my mind a little bit because I feel like this is a very affluent neighborhood, Whitefish Bay and Shorewood, and so it would seem to me that something of that consequence would have already been taken care of.
That's what was being used.
Shorewood Village trustee Matt McGovern got the same notice in the mail.
We just assumed that we would have them because we got an old house.
While McGovern wasn't surprised, given Shorewood is one of Milwaukee's oldest suburbs, he knows several residents aren't pleased about all of the red covering this village map, showing all of its lead pipes.
Many of them wonder why they're just hearing about this now. What would be a response to Shorewood residents who may have that concern?
It's something that Shorewood residents don't want in their home. Lead is a brain poison. It's especially harmful to children.
Is that acceptable?
No. We gotta take them all out and we're gonna replace them all.
Similar to Whitefish Bay, Shorewood leaders say the biggest obstacle is the cost. Both communities estimate it could be around a $50 million project. McGovern says the impact on future Shorewood property taxes or water bills is unknown.
No one likes to see their taxes go up.
It's unnerving.
Back at Janelle's.
Do you think it's worth the cost?
For, you know, longevity, I think it's the right thing to do. It's just unfortunate that it's taken so long to get to where we are.
In the meantime, she's searching for a temporary fix online to filter the lead out of her drinking water.
It isn't just Shorewood and Whitefish Bay. Wauwatosa has the fourth highest percentage of lead pipes in the state, coming in right ahead of Milwaukee. If you want to find out how many lead pipes are in your community, find this story on TMJ4.com. Reporting for TMJ4's Lighthouse team, I'm Ben Jordan.
The EPA says Wisconsin has the 10th most lead service lines in the country. Local leaders recommend using an NSF 53 certified filter for your drinking and cooking water if you have lead pipes. If you don't have a filter, flush your cold water for 3 minutes before you use it.
TMJ.
You know, guys, I'm just looking at Tony, who right away hit the ball out of the park. If only the state had a surplus in the budget to fix this. Our state right now has over $4 billion in surplus just sitting there. Dr. Yana or Paul or Robert. Well, actually, I'll go to you, Robert, first. This, we know these are two of the wealthiest suburbs in the entire state of Wisconsin. So do you think now people will take this a little more seriously?
Well, the problem has been all these years, Earl, out of sight, out of mind. You know, the pipes have been underground. The water has been free of any symptoms of being tainted by lead. Lead is not able to be smelled. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't see it. So no one said anything. The only ones who knew about this issue were the water utilities and the EPA. And in 1986, when the United States banned lead pipe use, there was no real campaign to begin the process of doing something about this. The only real action that occurred was back in 1991, around there in the early 90s, when they decided to put the lead-copper rule together, and then the LCR came into effect. But the lead-copper rule that they put back then was totally inadequate and did not do the due diligence of informing the public of this hazard needing to be removed from our water supply system. Now we're forwarding to today. Today, all of a sudden, everybody is concerned, as you say, because now some of Wisconsin's richest and most affluent communities are impacted by this. But as you recall, we made issue of this back in 2015 in Milwaukee when we began the process of not only creating public debate on this issue, but to expose the fact that government and the water utilities have known of this for decades. For decades, they have known that this is harming our community, that this is destroying generation after generation of our community. But yet, the media is also needing to be addressed here. The media did not do its due diligence to investigate this and do a much better job of reporting. They're doing a reporting now, and I see a difference between today and what they were reporting 10 years ago when we first started putting this out there. And they're talking about it more, but that's only because of now the LCR having to mandate that the public should know and government and water utilities should know. And still the media is not doing an adequate job in informing the public. Because today, that report is still misleading and misinforming the public on this issue.
Phone lines are open at 855-752-4842. Again, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Swartz. He's a co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. Dr. Yana, who is a co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Dr. Yana, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and none other than Robert Miranda, my good friend of Fresh Water for Life. You know, Paul, I was in listening to that. For people who may just be joining us and didn't hear that little expose, pointing out that two of the wealthiest suburbs in the city, in the state, have found out that they have been dealing with this all this time, didn't know. Before you guys got to doing what you did in Washington, D.C., how did you force the hand of the government to put this information out? It was not an easy undertaking, was it?
Thanks, Earl, for that question. It's really important to recognize the centrality of affected people and communities battling for their families and communities and getting really smart about not only how to protect their families right now, but also in the policy arena. And so over the last couple of decades, and over the last decade in Milwaukee with Robert Miranda and Fresh Water for Life, and people like Robert around the country, we've been advocating and agitating, educating, and mobilizing people to wake up to this problem. And I think that it's a good day. It's a gift to America to finally have this revealed and to have forced these changes through the lead and copper rule that require at least this partial victory of people being told that they're being served by 100% lead pipes running from the mains in the street into their home. I think we've got a ways to go to get the whole story out and to really let people know how they can protect themselves while they're waiting for these pipes to be replaced and for lead in the plumbing inside the home to be, to have an effective no lead alternative available. So the key message I want people to know is we need to fight and mobilize. That's what makes the difference. And if you want to protect yourself right now, the recommendation is use point of use filters with two certifications, NSF, ANSI, NSF ANSI standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF ANSI standard 42. That's what you want to look for on the box, because that's going to mean that you're going to have protection right now and today while we continue to battle and make sure that sunshine is the best disinfectant, working through the Earl Ingram Show and through the media and through the public and mobilizing people.
You know, Dr. Yana, you heard that mother who could not believe that this was happening. And many people who are listening right now probably still don't believe it's happening in their communities because nobody ever told them. They can't believe that our government would not be forthcoming and forthright. This didn't come, you know, because the government wanted to do the right thing. They were kind of forced to do this. Is it safe to say that?
It is absolutely safe to say that, Earl. If you look at the history of lead in U.S. drinking water, what you see is a very clear pattern. And that pattern is one of poisoned communities discovering themselves through their doctors, by hiring independent investigators who are coming into their homes to figure out where their children's lead poisoning is coming from, and independently figuring out in many cases that it's actually the water. And in Washington, D.C., you asked earlier, in Washington, D.C., just a few months after our historic contamination started, it was actually affected parents who started calling our Department of Health in real desperation and asking for their lead service lines to be replaced. And what did the health department say? We know this from internal government documents that we obtained. The health department said, no, we're not going to be replacing your lead service lines because the water is meeting EPA's regulatory requirements, without really telling people that these requirements are not health-based. They're not health protective. So they're letting people, they have hoodwinked all of us for decades into thinking that when a water utility meets regulatory requirements, our water is safe in connection to lead. And that is far from the truth. And so now we're having the moment of the rude awakening. These letters are going out and people are being informed and many communities are shocked. And Earl, even these letters that are going out today are not disclosing to people the whole truth. And that's a real problem.
You know, I gotta say, Tony said, I learned last week, this is not a big city problem. It's a Wisconsin and entire U.S. problem. You know, that's part of what we are trying to get across and what we will be doing in the coming days and weeks and months, especially on this program, but something even bigger behind the scenes that we'll be letting you guys in on that's going to be happening with this program, and to educate and bring even more pressure on a nation that has wronged its citizens. There's no question that our nation has wronged its citizens in this. And to say that people are responsible for paying for this when we're the richest nation on earth is unacceptable. 855-752-4842. I am joined by, again, Dr. Yana and Paul Swartz from co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda Flack, and you, 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. For years now, some consumers have been getting text messages stating that a major delivery carrier needs them to update delivery preferences on a package by clicking a link. The problem? The texts are scams and the links result in the theft of personal information, money, or both. Most consumers love the convenience of making purchases online and having them shipped straight to their doorstep. Delivery scams and theft are particularly prevalent during the holidays when more packages are shipped, but they can happen year-round. Scammers are hoping shoppers are busy or distracted and will act without thinking. The first scams to look out for are phishing texts or emails that pose as official notices from delivery companies. These either contain a tracking link, a message that the shipper is having difficulty delivering a package to you, or a link to update delivery preferences. Clicking the link either takes you to a form that asks for personally identifying information or to a site that downloads malware onto your computer. Another delivery scam involves fake missed delivery tags. Scammers place a note on your door that claims they are having challenges delivering a package to you. They ask you to call a phone number to reschedule your delivery, but it's a ruse to get your personal information. A different delivery scam includes a text stating the USPS package has arrived at the warehouse and cannot be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link. Other delivery-related issues shoppers face involve package theft. Many consumers have had their packages stolen before they arrive home from work. Thieves snatch packages from doorsteps or lobbies of apartment or condo complexes. Criminals even follow delivery and postal trucks. When the truck leaves, the crooks move in and grab the parcels. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Home Alone is at the top of many people's viewing list every holiday season. According to an Instagram poll conducted by the website Pubity, Home Alone was voted the greatest Christmas movie of all time. The film garnered 446,000 votes to take first place ahead of The Nightmare Before Christmas, which came in second. If you want to be entertained, read the comments on the Instagram poll where people argue about Christmas movies, and not exactly with holiday cheer. Other runner-ups included The Santa Claus, Christmas Vacation, Elf, and It's a Wonderful Life. You want to talk about range as an actor? Who could play Bruce Springsteen, a wrestler in Iron Claw, and the son of Jabba the Hutt? The answer is Jeremy Allen White. White has just signed on to play Jabba the Hutt's son in The Mandalorian and Grogu. Variety reports that White will provide the voice for the role and that this is the Emmy-winning actor's first role in a major movie franchise. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be windy with light snow showers and falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to be in the single digits by late today with a wind chill dropping below zero. Clear, windy, cold tonight, one below with a wind chill in the teens below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine, not as windy with a high of 12. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Kash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Master Discombobulator Dan Schaefer and Northeast Wisconsin actor Kurt Krause drops by the studio to discuss independent film. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Thank you.
Lots of happy little children waiting for sunrise. A stocking full of candy and a big surprise. Look at the happiness in their eyes. They're glad it's Christmas. People caroling into the night. Where the snow is falling, their sleigh bell rides tonight. We'll snuggle to a nice warm fire. I'm glad it's Christmas. But before this game gets underway.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, I've been doing radio for a bit, and I've had, you know, guests from across the nation and actually from across the world talking about issues that impact and affect the lives of the American citizens. I think that I have a responsibility as a person who gets an opportunity on this microphone and this medium to be able to bring something to a listening audience of substance that is critically important to them. And to me, that's what this medium is about. But I've never had three people I think that I respect as much as the three that come before you every Wednesday to bring this kind of information that I just for the life of me, you know, I keep saying I'm 70 years old. And, you know, the fact that this, you know, my parents lived their entire lives with this. And nobody brought it up. And you know, that's the tragedy in this. The fact that it wasn't brought up and it was known. And if you're just joining us, what we're talking about is lead in the water that is doing major damage to human beings and the wealthiest nation on earth that spends almost $1 trillion on the military. We make up 4% of the global population. Everybody celebrates us spending $1 trillion on military. But we can't get this done. Robert, your thoughts, man.
It is a tragic Shakespearean story that we're dealing with here in America when we're talking about lead and water. And all the cloak and dagger that the EPA has been involved in with the in concert with the water utility has done nothing but harm the American citizen all these decades. It has done more harm than any other issue out there, I believe. Because of its stealthiness, of its way of being silent and being the most silent destroyer of life, one of the most silent destroyer of life. It is something that is hideous, that government should have done something about decades and decades ago. But it is something that we as citizens ourselves need to really galvanize around and start to address in one voice to make this an issue to remove these lead pipes and not only remove them, but remove them at no cost to the public. This isn't something that the public wanted. This isn't something that the public conceded to. This was done by government. This is a government-created problem, and the government should be paying to remove all these lead pipes, no questions asked. And everybody says, well, it's going to cost too much. Well, then we need to think about how we're spending our money. And building football stadiums and basketball stadiums at billions of dollars is not the way we should be spending our tax dollars. If billionaires want a sports arena, they should be paying it for themselves. But to shift billions of public dollars to help support a billionaire create a football arena. You can look at Chicago. Chicago is looking at building a new football stadium for their team. And that cost is almost $4 to $5 billion. And Chicago has one of the highest numbers of lead pipes in the country. And here they're freely talking about spending that kind of money to help a couple of billionaire families build a new football stadium when thousands, if hundreds of thousands of citizens in that city are ingesting lead through their water, causing all the problems to health that are being caused. That is an injustice of an immense magnitude. And Milwaukee is not even innocent of that. Milwaukee has done that here as well, you know, spending money on stadiums,
right,
and spending money on vanity to make Camelot downtown look beautiful, when we in fact know that the lead pipes that are in our homes are destroying life. And like the lady said in that presentation you put in the beginning, water is life. And here we are treating it as just a commodity that the people should have taken for granted and don't want to do nothing about it. No, the people want to do something about it. And when they do say something, then all of a sudden it's causing panic. The people are panicking. And that word irks me, because that's the word that was used when we tried to raise the issue, when we raised the issue 10 years ago. The government of Barrett administration started accusing us of causing panic in the public. That's a way of trying dismissing the issue and how serious the issue is.
You know,
nobody's causing panic when they raise questions.
You know, Paul, when you look at the fact that this information is now forthcoming, and so after all of this time, still there's pushback, even though the government hasn't totally said, okay, yeah, we're guilty of this. We have to give President Joe Biden some credit, because he did put, what, $26 billion or whatever the amount is, which is a mere pittance, into trying to address this. We've got a new guy coming in, and he's talking about doing away with the very industries that oversee this. What should our thoughts be on that, Paul? Are you concerned at all about the incoming president and whether or not he will even continue to do what President Joe Biden has attempted to do?
Once again, Earl, I think that's a central question for the time moving forward into the new year and a new administration. We have to acknowledge that there was some forward progress because of the pressure that people put on the Biden administration and the Biden EPA to do something, maybe a down payment on it. But this is an inflection point because of the new consciousness that has been forced by the new versions of the lead and copper rule, with these letters going out and organizing having happened in many cities and states in the wake of DC and Flint and Newark and in Milwaukee and other places as well. We have an opportunity and we have the obligation, as Robert Miranda said, to mobilize, to put pressure on the new EPA head and the Trump administration to not roll back the modicum of progress that we've made, and to move past that down payment in terms of the money and making sure that people are not paying directly or indirectly for the replacement of these lines. And even more importantly, to force EPA to come clean and the CDC to come clean and our state and local health departments to come clean, that lead and water is in about nearly every building being dispensed at the tap. And that whether or not you have one of these lead pipes, these lead laterals or service lines coming into your home or other buildings, that there's near ubiquity, lead is almost everywhere in the water. And so there's a hope that I have right now in my heart that we can get the message out to people to protect themselves with filters and to put pressure on their local, state, and federal politicians, including the Trump administration, to do the right thing.
You know, Dr. Yana, Tony says, do your guests have social media pages people can follow to keep up to date with what they are doing and the organizations are doing. Are there outlets? Is there additional information? You know, clearly we're going to be doing some things, but you guys already have some connections, Dr. Yana. You want to talk about a little bit about those?
Yeah, I mean, we have a website. It's called the Campaign for Lead Free Water. The link is campaignforleadfreewater.org. And on that site, we upload very regularly the latest information we have, and we're able to share about what the problem is, its nature, its extent, what the science is. And so I encourage people to visit that site. Robert, I don't know if you wanted to add to the websites that you have and you're putting things up.
In Milwaukee, we have the Coalition to Get the Lead Out website. And so you could just go to the Get the Lead Out Milwaukee Coalition website. And we just have information as well that pretty much mimics what the campaign has been putting out and what other environmental justice groups have been putting out in regards to this issue.
So, Dr. Yana, there are people who are listening from really all over the nation and all over the state. What do you say to them wherever they are? We're talking about a couple places. We're talking about little pinpricks. Wherever they are, what should they do?
Yeah, so wherever people are, they should know that it is far more likely that they have lead in their plumbing than that they don't. Whether they get this letter right now or not, whether they're told they have a lead service line or not, everybody should be concerned about lead in their drinking water. Everybody. And before lead service lines are replaced, and before we actually have the opportunity to replace all of our plumbing, even inside our buildings, with zero lead plumbing that doesn't yet exist in the market, there is no opportunity to get plumbing with no lead at all.
Really?
But yeah, so the immediate step people can take is to do what Paul said earlier, to use point of use lead certified filters. People should look for filters that have two certifications, the NSF 53, along with a clear claim of lead reduction, and NSF 42. We want both of these certifications. So right now, the best plumbing that there is out there is plumbing that is called, the standard is Q1, NSF Q1, and that is the safest plumbing you can get. It's only for endpoint devices, so plumbing devices that are at the last liter of where you draw the water, so in faucets, fixtures at the very, very end. And those devices with a Q1 certification have the lowest lead in them. And they're the best to get right now. But again, they only cover the very last liter of a house's water system.
You know, I'm just listening to this, and it just makes my head explode, but with thought. This has to be an extremely expensive problem. And it's the reason the government doesn't want to have to deal with it. Not that they're not concerned about the health of the American people. It's just that they don't want to be on the hook for having to spend the money. 855-752-4842. Co-founder Campaign for Lead Free Water, Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana, and my good friend Robert Miranda of Flat, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Happy holidays to you from the listeners.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones.
for you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you follow the American Democracy Minute, you know that until last year, Wisconsin held the infamous title as one of the most gerrymandered states in the U.S. That changed November 5th. Former Governor Scott Walker accelerated gerrymandering of the Wisconsin Assembly, Senate, and congressional maps during his 2011 to 2019 tenure, engineering a 64-35 majority in the Wisconsin Assembly and a 22-11 majority in the Senate, despite an evenly divided liberal and conservative electorate. In 2023, the GOP was short of a supermajority by only two assembly seats. Vetoes by current Governor Tony Evers tried to keep even worse maps at bay, but a conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court ultimately allowed them. But a Supreme Court election in 2023 shifted the ideology of the court, and the court's reconsideration of the Assembly and Senate maps led to new, fairer maps for the 2024 general election. While Republicans maintain control of both houses, fair maps reduce the artificial Republican advantage in the Assembly 54-45 and the Senate 18-15. Veto overrides of the governor are far less likely, forcing the legislature to compromise on more legislation. The congressional district map, which did not change but is also widely recognized as gerrymandered, gave a 6-2 advantage to Republicans. We have links to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
News from the center, WRCE.
Old December's here at last, time for celebration. Christmas present, Christmas past, tumble down together like the snow. What a show. Now the snowman someone made is melting by the roadside. On the window serenade.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Robert Miranda, Paul Swartz, and Dr. Yana as we talk about, you know, lead-free water. So Paul, I wanna ask you, sir. We are now, you know, close to the holiday, and you know, this has been going on now for such a long. How long have you been in this fight?
Yeah, Earl. So I've been in the fight on drinking water and all the multiple contaminants since 1979.
Wow.
On lead and water, I got a real wake up call, even though I knew it was a problem in my community, when residents, as Yana said, found out that they were getting lead poisoned and broke the story to our city council and to the Washington Post. And that was the end of January 2004. And we've all been on a journey to understand what the problem is. But I want to just really address one thing that we talked about before the break, which is that lead in water is something that the government doesn't want to be on the hook on, but the government has been falsely convinced by the water utility industry that lead in water, by and large, is the property owner's problem. And so, as my colleague Yana Lambrini-Du said, in good neoliberal fashion, the scheme is to place the burden on the victims, and nobody should be paying for this. That's a really key message. And I think we really want to focus in on the costs versus the health benefits. And I'd like to throw Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du to talk about an important study that's been done that looks at what we can gain, not just what it costs, by doing the right thing.
Dr. Lambrini Du, go ahead.
Yeah, so there was a very important study that came out recently by Ronnie Levin at the Harvard School of Public Health and her collaborator, which found that mitigating lead in U.S. water would save more than $8 billion a year in health benefits and would save at least $2 billion more in infrastructure costs at a benefit-to-cost ratio of 35 to 1. So it is, there's no doubt whatsoever that pouring money into replacing these lines and also really working on improving our infrastructure, working on manufacturing zero lead plumbing and replacing our internal plumbing inside our homes and other buildings is actually a win-win in terms of cost and health and infrastructure benefits.
You know, Robert, there's still, I'm listening to Dr. Lambrini Du, and she's talking about, you know, the only real thing is zero lead free plumbing. That's got to be extremely expensive, man. I don't know, but why are they still making the leaded pipes, man?
Well, it's an industry that isn't going to go away, and they got to have customers. They got to sell their product. And so there's got to be a way to put them in there. Plus, lead is a kind of malleable kind of metal, and it helps with the formulation of other products of metal. And so, you know, it's very, you know, the lobbies of these mega corporations, these big corporations are very strong. And so, you know, the only way to counter that is, you know, people being educated, people being informed, people rising up to demand that these hazards be removed from our environment and from our water. And, you know, people have to understand that, you know, even though it's going to be an expensive endeavor, yes, it is. The bottom line is for individuals who have been harmed by lead in water, who have been harmed by lead, period. They have individual costs and health that they're going to have to pay themselves, that they're going to have to pick up. Not only the harm done to the family, not only harm done to the children and future generations of their families, but, you know, monetarily, people are going to have to pay out of pocket anyway to cure what lead has done to their body. So we have to come to grips with the fact that, yes, there's going to be a cost, but the end result is removing this toxic element from our environment so that future generations have a chance to survive and live without having to deal with this hazard.
Hey, Robert, Dr. Yana, Paul, always, you know, just great information. We've got a large audience, and I know many people are listening. They're trying to reconcile this, so we're just going to keep on bringing more and more information for them, and eventually they're going to realize this is something that they can get their arms around with the information that we'll be giving them in the future. Thank you very much, as always. We'll see you guys again in a week. See you guys next week. Thank you. Thank you. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson, Packer owner and senior advisor at Lincoln Project, is here to discuss. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. We'll be right back.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The suspected killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson remains in a Pennsylvania jail fighting extradition to New York. Luigi Mangione's writings show anger with health insurance companies and a disdain for corporate greed and power. He is being held without bail. The Labor Department is out with its November report on consumer prices. Yes, we are still paying more than we were a year ago for nearly everything, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
The Consumer Price Index takes into account all items across all categories. In November, the CPI rose 0.3% from its October level and 2.7% over the past 12 months. That's in line with analysts' expectations. Nearly 40% of last month's rise came in the housing category.
It's the latest in the grocery store saga. Albertsons is giving up on its merger with Kroger's a day after two separate courts rejected the deal. Albertsons is also suing Kroger, saying it didn't do enough to secure regulatory approval for the deal. This is ABC News.